when I'm gone. You're gonna miss me by my walk. You're gonna miss me by my tacos. You're gonna miss me when I'm gone. When I'm gone. Alright. I recorded that bit.
Oh shit, really?
Oh, are we recording?
This is the power of editing.
Oh, wait.
So do we want to do the one word, everyone?
Is it even, like, isn't it too late? We're 30 seconds in.
But we're in too deep. This is the power of editing.
We got to keep going now.
This is the power of editing. We can do it. We can make it whatever the fuck we want.
To the life cast.
You ruined it. You start. You say, hello.
Oh my god, that waveform was terrible.
hello.
Hi.
And?
Welcome.
To?
The?
Life? Life cast is one word?
Alright, let's start from the top.
Wait. Let's all say life cast together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alright,
let's start from the top. Go.
Hi.
This is clipping and? So badly.
Editing. Okay, I'll start again. Say hello, you know what makes...
Hello.
And...
Welcome.
To...
The...
Lifecast!
See, wasn't that much more fun?
It's actually
That's just
not
going to come in. That's just going to be inaudible.
When we edit, can we just like put like
make
TV static over that?
I'm going to specifically request that... be made even more clipped in post.
Yeah.
TV static, please.
This is episode number 57.
Or maybe, who knows? We didn't check the episode number before recording this.
I know you said it was 60, and I remembered it was 60, but I still wanted to pretend like I was guessing.
Okay, so it's episode 3.
Hello,
yeah.
Welcome to episode 3 of the Lifecast.
We are new.
We are the Lifecast 2. We have taken care of the previous owner, and we are now coming live. It is number 60.
Oh, good shit.
We're coming
live.
Well,
there we go. Welcome to episode 60 of the Lifecast. I guess I'm taking over Deanna's place this time.
Well, you're
I am
in, you're
Dan.
In the Deanna
I am
spot.
The host
you
this time.
You got demoted. Deanna lost letters in her name.
Oh, man.
Holy shit.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Okay. To my left is Adam.
No.
To his
I'm
left
here.
Is Kennedy.
You's gay best girl.
To her... Yes, left. To her left is Tiffany.
It's kind of diagonal, or just like
I don't. The clockwise.
She's across from me.
We're close.
Okay.
We're close, both emotionally and like spatially. There's like maybe 3 feet between us. We could hold hands if we wanted to.
No, not really.
Okay.
So what rank would you say your you know your
our social link
yeah.
is? I'd say we're maxed out. Apparently not.
I mean,
never mind.
Do you want to hack?
What?
Oh, wait, can you hack this game yet? I've never played Persona, so like, can you hack like social links or
no?
How does this game work?
You become friends with people, and then you hang out with them, and then your social links grow stronger and stronger until you hit 10.
It's the literal power of friendship.
So can you become enemies?
In Persona 4, there is one character who you can reverse your social link.
Actually, that's only in the American release. In the Japanese release, you can reverse everyone's social
link.
Oh,
really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. But yeah.
In the American version, you can only reverse Naoto's.
Oh, okay. And in 3, can't you also?
You can reverse everyone in 3.
Yeah, you can reverse every. Yeah, it's been a while since I played 3. But yeah.
And Tiffany's left to Sydney.
I thought you were going to forget about me, in all honesty.
Yeah, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, I'm like, I wonder if he's going to forget. And I don't know how to, like, I can't just take over your job halfway through and be like, eh. Like, because that would just be awkward.
So as that little bit of dialogue may have hinted at you, if the name of the episode didn't already hint at you, motherfuckers, we want to talk about, actually, 3 out of 5 of us want to talk.
Like, don't speak for me.
Yeah, 3.
Don't speak for a game I haven't played yet.
3 out of 5 of us really want to talk about Persona.
Yeah.
I sort of want to talk about it. I have nothing to say, though.
Yeah, just pretend like you do.
You know,
I'm sure
yeah,
you could. I'm
Persona
sure.
5 is a great game.
See, I think it's the worst fucking game of that.
I'm
trying. Yeah.
So, in all seriousness, Sydney and Tiffany haven't played any Persona games, if I recall correctly. So maybe we can convince you guys to pick it up. Dan?
I already want to play 4.
Well, yeah, I can loan it to you.
I know it. I have it on. I have a future on loan from people. I just want to play Revelations first.
Wait, like Persona Revelations?
No, Fire Emblem Fates.
Wait, what's Persona Revelations?
What is Persona Revelations? That is
It's Revelations Persona?
It's Revelations
it's
Persona.
It's Persona 1.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
It's the name of the first Persona game. And they just called it Revelations Persona.
Oh, okay.
States. And it's aged like
it's
milk.
It's bad.
So,
it's a really bad
damn.
Game.
I love old milk.
It's really bad. But that's an episode for another day. But yeah. Tiff and Sid haven't played it. Me, Dan, and Adam all have. None of us have beaten it. I'm really close,
You're,
though.
Like,
I'm
almost at the final boss.
I am in the last dungeon. And... Dan, you just beat Madarame.
I just got through the second palace.
And Adam, where are you?
I'm about to be introduced to the fourth person.
Okay, so that said, because of that, we will not be discussing spoilers past, let's say, the third palace. Does that sound fair?
That sounds fair.
Okay, so up until the third palace, I think that's where we're going to cut off. And even then, we're going to... Yeah, no spoilers.
Yeah.
So what do we want to talk about first? We all really love it, right?
Yeah. I think we're pretty much all on the same page here that
it's a great game.
It's very good.
Yeah, it's a great game. A great quality game. So glad I'm playing it.
I'm finding so far that it's kind of suffering from like just timing itself out well. Like I'm finding like in between dungeons, I'm finding that
those lumps of time.
Those lumps of time are either too little or too much. I can't quite put a finger on it yet because I haven't like seen more than 3 of them. But it seems like it's either, hey, here's 6 hours of dialogue, or hey, here's everybody talking to you for 20 days about how they're worried about this change of heart.
I kind of miss the way it like that they had it all divvied up in Persona 4. And I think it partially is because they put a strict time limit on you for how long you have to do the palaces, which on one hand is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it's like, I don't know, you feel how little time you have, and Morgana constantly wanting you to go to bed doesn't help, because, like, even in Persona 3 and 4, you know, like, if you spent a long time in the Shadow World or Tartarus, you know, you couldn't do anything at night, but anywhere else, like, you know, you could still do things at night. I find it so stupid that it's like, you know, if I go to Mementos all day and then I come home and Morgana's like, you're too tired to call Kawakami to make coffee for you. Yeah. You're too tired to read or watch TV. And I'm like, Morgana, shut the fuck up. But, it definitely makes things feel a lot more confined. And, like, you can't, like, you just don't have as much time to do things. And it's kind of hard to divvy up.
See, I don't mind the limited time. As much as I mind, what's the word for it? The lack of chances I, like... Like, even for dungeons and stuff, when running through them and, you know, not being able to do anything at night, that's fine. But, like, it just seems to not like allocating time properly, like, at all.
It doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it
limited,
really doesn't.
Like, even if you have a limited amount of time... That limited amount of time can still be good if it's allocated properly, which was done well in 4.
And 3.
But in 5, it's like, you know, sometimes you'll water your plant and then go to bed because Morgana doesn't want you to do anything else.
Yeah.
And it's really...
Our biggest
I've never
complaint
felt
with this game
like
is Morgana.
I've never felt like a Persona game has actively tried to waste my time before.
Yeah. And that says a lot, because the Persona games are generally, you know, time management has generally been one of the pulls.
That's what you do.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fuck Morgana.
Yeah.
Fuck Morgana. I don't want to go to bed. Like, even if they just said, like, you know, you can't leave the house, I'd even accept that.
Yeah, do something in the house. Like, go study in
the...
Like,
go study.
Make a tool. Do fucking pull-ups on that squeaky board on your roof that's probably going to collapse on
work
you.
Work on Sojiro's socially.
Yeah.
Work on... You know, I don't want to say who because Dan hasn't got this yet, and it's
okay.
The maid.
Another dude.
I will say the maid.
Oh yeah.
That's one thing I'm going to leave sacred because I want Dan to see that with his own eyes.
Yeah.
I love Felicia,
but
she's a great maid.
Felicia.
But
comes.
I wish we could call the maid. I wish we could work on our social stats. So yeah, fuck Morgana.
Yeah.
Speaking of things we don't like. Here's something I have with Persona 5, and this is both a blessing and a curse.
Mm-hmm.
the palaces are either really fucking great,
yeah,
or they are a trudge and I want to shoot myself.
Yeah.
Some of the great ones include, but are not necessarily limited to, Madarame's Palace, which very well could be my favorite. Yeah. The fifth one, I don't want to say what it is because of you guys, but the fifth palace is pretty great as well. Yeah. And then there are really bad ones that make me want to fucking shoot myself. For example, the bank.
Yeah, the bank one is
the bank made
bad.
Me want to shoot myself. And me and Adam talked about this briefly the other day, yeah, but up until very close to the end of the game, he has no connection to the story. And even then, his connection is loose at best.
Yeah.
And then the other one is the final palace, which I especially don't want to spoil what that is. But suffice to say, those labyrinth puzzles, the mouse puzzles, it was the worst dungeon in the game. And granted how much buildup there is to get into this palace, like, I was expecting so much from it, and it was worse than the bank. It was horrible. It was... Yeah. Why is the last palace like that? But that said, again, the ones that are good tend to have been really, really good with very few palaces that I think were just okay. In fact, the only one I think was just okay was Kamoshida's, and that one's
I think Kamoshida's was really
the tutorial one.
I still think that one's really good, though.
Yeah,
so like,
I still really like that one. I honestly like Kamoshida's more than
Madarame's.
I keep forgetting Madarame's name.
Madarame, the fifth dungeon, and I guess it's not a spoiler to say this since it is the first area you're at, the casino.
Yeah.
The casino is hella fun.
Yeah.
And it's also, visually speaking, the casino in Madarame's...
Oh, Madarame's palace is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
I just...
This whole game
is
gorgeous.
I feel like the design, like the layout of the palace was not as good as it could have been. Really short.
The layout?
Like, really short.
The layout, Dan?
Yes.
I cannot wait for you to get to the last palace. I cannot fucking wait!
Well, I mean, by layout, I mean it was basically, like, a straight line for
I
the majority of the time.
Wait. Basically, like, what feels like two-thirds of the fucking last palace is this stupid-ass labyrinth of gimmicks. It's horrible. Two of our friends of the Life cast, one of whom is Eleanor, who you guys may know from Shadowrun, the three of us have all agreed that it is the worst palace in the game.
No.
You're speaking into the mic wrong.
I am?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you're supposed to speak
speakers,
in front of it.
The thing to receive the sound is on the side.
Oh, good thing I have a loud voice. so here's another thing I really want to talk about with Persona. Social links.
Yeah.
What do y'all think?
I haven't had the chance to do many of them. I really like Ryuji so far. I'm at like rank 6 with him.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of myself in him, so I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
I just got the ability to continue with the doctor, Takumi.
Kemi.
Yeah, because she's great. I love her. She's awesome.
I think everyone loves her.
Yeah, she's really great.
And other than that, I have not started any others. Oh, no, I started the politicians last night.
Oh, Bernie
I started
Sanders.
The politicians. Yeah, good old Japanese Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
And he seems cool.
Yeah,
he is.
Cool.
He is pretty cool.
But before we move on to the social links completely, I do want to talk a little bit about the first three
houses. Oh, I'm
sorry. A little bit. I just want to mention that, like the first two palaces, they're like, so connected to the character. So, like there's an immediate connect. Like, the person you are hunting has an immediate connection to a character that is joining your party. And I think with the third one, I think half the reason why it fell so flat was because it's like, hey, there's this bad dude. You're like, oh, okay, who is this bad dude? Oh, no, he's pretty bad, though.
like I said, close to end game, there is a connection, but it's a loose, bullshitty one at best. But the good news is he's also the only one like that.
Okay, that's cool.
All the others have an immediate connection to the characters or the story.
Yeah, that's good. I think they need to have that for them to feel important.
That's kind of the appeal of Persona.
Yeah.
Is, like, these characters, like, getting pushed to that point, and if there's no real emotional attachment to push them to that point to get their persona, it's just not kind of not the same.
Yeah, it definitely. It just felt very generic.
Yeah,
with the persona change of the character,
which
in that
sucks because you're bank robbers.
Yeah,
like that sounds so cool. But anyway, social links. What do you think?
I really like Yusuke.
Yusuke, I really said it. Cool. I said it before, and I'll say it again. Yusuke, best girl.
I wanna do Yusuke's really soon.
Yeah.
I thought you were gonna stop after the word Yusuke, and I was about to say me too.
I mean,
Yusuke, more like I'm gay. So. Anyway,
I'm gay too. I'm just trying to contribute.
Hey, you're doing a great job. Keep going.
We appreciate it. Anyway,
yeah, I'm finding that I like Yusuke a lot. Takemi, I think I'm the highest with her. I think I'm at like 7 or 8 with her at this point. And I like her, but I'm finding that I like, I don't want to say who, because, you know, he might,
he knows who characters are, but.
Okay. Who? Well, I mean, Makoto.
Yeah, no, Dan knows.
I know who Makoto is.
Okay, okay.
She is dead.
She reveals herself, like, before the start of the second.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, like.
She's also on the cover art.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that Dan knows who everybody. Yeah.
I know the majority of the people you get. I know there's, like, the one unexpected party member you were talking about, I don't know who that is. And that's it.
And I don't think Adam knows at this point either. Okay. So that works out perfectly.
Okay.
Right. But, yeah, other than that, like, but I know. If they're on the box art, then I know.
Yeah.
I haven't even looked at the box, really, so I didn't know Makoto was on the box.
All right. But, yeah, no, Dan, if they're on the cover, Dan knows who they are. So, yeah, cool, Makoto.
Cool. Okay, yeah, I really like Makoto. She seems to be pretty cool so far.
I love her.
I've only, like, my encounters with her have been, like, seeing her at the train stop and being like, hey, you exist, and then leaving.
Yeah.
So I don't really know much yet.
Yeah.
I hear she's great.
Yeah, she is. She's pretty good. I've yet to hear anybody not like her.
Yeah. And Ryuji's been growing on me a lot, too. Like, at first I'm like, oh, I don't really like you that much. But you know what? He's starting to grow on me a lot.
Being at Endgame, I'm at a point at Endgame where I can no longer up my social links, mm-hmm. Which makes me really sad because Haru, I tried really hard. Haru is the new game plus waifu. I only got her to like 6, I think.
She's the Naoto.
She's
the Naoto.
She's Naoto. But that said, her social link is also really fun. And if I almost want to do new game plus, like, I almost want to do it just to go deeper into her social link. But yeah, I can safely say Yusuke is my favorite character. Closely followed up by a rough tie between Futaba and Makoto. What I will say about the social links is, and I'm pretty sure I've already told this to everybody at the table, so I was assuming this game would go by the Persona 3 and 4 rules for getting a girlfriend, that, you know, once you hit, like, rank 10 with them and you can no longer hang out with them, that you silently break up. You know, and that you can get a new girlfriend and there will be no ramifications. Yeah, I didn't realize that you are incredibly devoted. Incredibly devoted in Persona 5. So the first lady who I got to a rank 9, and rank 9 is when you can ask them to be your girlfriend. The first girl I got to a rank 9 is Oya. The journalist.
That's so fucking lame. That's so lame.
So I wanted to do what I did in Personas 3 and 4, where I would date all the girls available.
That's so dangerous in 3.
You were there when I played it. I did it.
Yeah, I know, but still.
It's dangerous, but I did it.
If you get caught, you reverse all of their social links.
I did it.
Oh, cool.
Dan, you were there as my witness. I did it. Fucking did it. Fuka was my endgame girlfriend, and that was exactly what I wanted, because Fuka is actually my... Fuka and Mitsuru are the best girls.
All about Mitsuru.
It is.
It's all about Mitsuru.
I want Mitsuru to step on me, but that's beside the point.
Same.
Anyway, so I made Oya, the journalist, my girlfriend. And it's not that her social link's bad, it's just, it's really okay.
Okay.
It's... So when I maxed out my social link with her, the next lady whose social link I maxed out ended up being on, because I had a Lan and Shi that I had in my party forever. And when you have a persona of the arcana of the social link,
it increases the chances of bringing up the social link.
So because of that, I was able to get on up like really fast. I think I wasn't even having any of those "you feel like your bond's gonna grow deeper soon" moments. It was just one after the other after the other. So I was going in to date on, and then it was like, you should choose your words carefully, but you already have a girlfriend. And I was looking at that like, no, I don't. I maxed out my social link with Oya. I do not have a girlfriend. Why are you doing this to me? So I really... I don't want to say this as a complaint with the game, but it's I really wish I would have known that, because if I had known that, I would have reserved my girlfriend for Makoto. Hmm. I would have... We walked on the beach together, man. That's we it. Have a special bond. God, I love Makoto.
Well, one thing I really don't like or find... So, no, don't worry, I wasn't laughing at you. Huh. You look very concerned.
Continue?
Okay. One thing I find really funny, and I didn't really notice how awkward it was until I met Chess Girl.
Chess? Oh, Hifumi.
Yeah, Hifumi.
I really like her.
Yeah, but...
If it's for, like... If it's for, like, non-plot relevant social links...
It's not plot relevant.
You can just say names. Okay. I'm not going to remember.
I'm going to say the only social links let's not talk about are Justice, Judgment.
I don't know what that is.
You know who... I'm pretty sure you know who Judgment is by now.
I just don't know them by that.
I'm not going to say them by name.
Okay.
I'm going to say as long as...
I can look them up.
I'm going to say... I don't know if you've started Justice yet. I almost don't know if I want you to look him up.
Okay, I will.
You can look up Judgment. I'm pretty sure that I'm positive that at your point you have to know who Judgment is. I think you know who the character for Justice is, but I don't know if you've started their social link yet.
Oh, I know who it is.
Oh, you know well, now?
I know. I don't know, but I can put two and two together.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I'm going to say let's just not mention them by name, okay. And everybody else is fair game.
Okay.
Speaking of putting two and two together, that's something I've noticed about this game is you see, like, everything coming a mile away.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to mention it explicitly because it is a mega spoiler, but yes, you can see everything a mile away except...
You can stop.
In the last goddamn palace, they pull this telenovela bullshit.
I'm so excited.
This completely out of the blue. There is no reasonable explanation for this bullshit. I won't say what it is explicitly, because again, it's a mega spoiler, but I think anybody who's played this probably knows what I'm talking about. In case you don't, it's the those boss battles that are stacked. That guy. They pull some telenovela. Like, up until that point, they've done a good job at explaining why things are happening. And, you know, again, a lot of it you see it coming a mile away. You know, nothing up to this point, nothing has seemed too unreasonable. And even the unreasonable things that have happened, they have offered at least a satisfactory explanation for, but then this happens and you're just looking at your screen like there is literally nothing in this game, nothing nowhere to so much as imply that this should even be possible, and it's the stupidest goddamn... You ever feel like your anime game is a Mexican soap opera? You ever felt that? Because that's what I felt. It's some Kingdom Hearts bullshit. That's all I'm going to say.
Does it include stabbing girls in wheelchairs with pens?
I wish. Honestly, I might forgive it if it did that. But, yeah, no. Everything except for that fucking telenovela bullshit, you can see it from a mile away. But to be fair, that's...
It's not really an issue.
It's not an issue, and it's not really something new.
Yeah.
For Persona, can I spoil Persona 4?
It's been out for 10 years.
Sydney,
cover your ears. Or
actually, yeah, Sydney, if you don't want spoilers for Persona 4, we won't.
I think the only other time I've seen this much of a shocker in Persona.
Oh wait, yeah, I know exactly.
Is Adachi
being
the big bad, and also, and I'm going to half say this because Dan kind of accidentally spoiled this for me when I was playing Persona 3, is Shinji's death. Dan kind of...
You're good.
Okay. Dan kind of accidentally spoiled that one for me, but had had that not happened, that would have caught me completely off guard.
Yeah. That, so that caught, like, that's, like, the moment.
That, yeah.
Like, screw anything in 4. Persona 3's Shinji.
The death of Shinji will top all.
It will always top all.
It tops this.
Like, there's actually a little bit off topic. In Persona 3, people did the math. If Shinji stayed alive and was a usable character throughout the entire game, he would be bar none the best unit in the whole game.
Speaking of
the the point of breaking the game.
Speaking of best units, let's talk about Yusuke. Let's talk about how much of a god he is and how his social link is also the best.
I haven't started his social link, but I really like him just in the story. I think he's really quirky. I think he's really nice.
He reminds me of me, and I love him. Please commission me.
He's voiced by Matthew Mercer, which just makes it better.
Yeah, so he's probably great anyway. Yeah.
So is Crom.
So is
Wait,
Crom.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't know Crom was Matt Mercer.
Yeah. I didn't either until I saw it on Feh.
And he was also Kanji in the Persona 4 anime. And I'm not mistaken, Golden.
Yeah,
Did they get Troy Baker back?
I think they got Troy Baker back for Golden.
Okay. But yeah, so this isn't his first time in a Persona game, but this is his first time in, like...
This is his first time being the first choice of a character in a Persona game.
Yeah. I hope when they make the anime, I hope they get Troy Baker to play Yusuke.
That'd be so good.
Then it all comes full circle.
You know, I really wouldn't be surprised if that happened either.
Matt Mercer's because a little shit poster.
Matt Mercer and Troy Baker are, like, super close.
Yeah, and they're both fucking shit posters. So, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Troy Baker flat out volunteered to voice Yusuke in the inevitable Persona 5 anime.
That'd be pretty good. So, back about the social link thing with the Fumi.
Yeah!
So, it didn't, like, really come to me until I did the social link with Hifumi. Just the beginning. Like how whenever you meet a new friend, you go back to the present and
to Sai,
and you're getting grilled by her. And I never realized how awkward that was with some of them because it's so innocent. It's like, hey, I'm playing chess. How did you figure this out?
You wanna know what my favorite one is?
What?
My favorite one I know Dan definitely doesn't have this one unlocked yet. You might have this one unlocked. The social link for Chihaya, the fortune teller.
Oh, I haven't started yet, but I know her. Yeah.
Yeah, no, my favorite one is that one where Sai is like, and by the time I started this one is by the time that you've already caught up, like, you are almost in real time. Mm-hmm. So it's so weird that it's like she interrupts your questioning, which is getting so close to end time for this, and she just looks over and she's like, you had an incredible amount of luck on your side. How are you so lucky? And then it and then it takes you back to the fortune teller.
And
by this point, and I'm gonna say this isn't a spoiler since this is literally the level 1 thing, like this is how you start her social link, is that she sells you a salt rock and tells you it's a holy rock that'll give you like eternal luck. So it's like and you call her out and you were like, hey, you tried to heck and bamboozle me. And then she's like, I did not try to heck and bamboozle you, but tell you what, why don't you watch me give fortunes and I'll prove that I didn't bamboozle you. Flashes over to Sae, how are you so lucky? Yeah. Like, because I talk to a fucking con artist. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just so jarring sometimes when you're doing a nice friendly thing.
And again, that's like, by the time I started Chihaya's, because I started hers much later than I needed to, it was like, I was within a week maybe of catching up, like, to November 20th.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, I'm giving her all these details that would have been, like, super relevant because they'd be, like, less than a week old. And, you know, they're trying to find out, like, how you did it and all that. And then all of a sudden she's just like, how are you so lucky? It's like, that's, you don't care about casino at all. It doesn't matter anymore.
Not the salt rock.
You don't care about. Apparently the salt rock's more important. Well, okay, if you insist.
Yeah.
You're the prosecutor. I've played enough Ace Attorney games to know what happens if I don't want to comply.
Yeah.
I like Sai, though.
I don't like her so far, but I know nothing about her.
Yeah, no, honestly, she doesn't get good until after you catch up, like, to November 20th. But after that point, she's really a much better character.
Yeah.
And something actually that I've noticed has happened with a lot of characters that they definitely do feel a little more real in the sense that there are patches of the game, like just parts where you, like, you know, someone's being a dick or someone's just being stupid and you don't like them for a while and then you call them out on their bullshit and they're like, oh yeah, sorry about that. And then they get good again.
No.
And in Persona, previous Persona games, you know, typically it's either one character is great the whole way through or someone just sucks the whole way through. I think the biggest case of this, definitely the one that I've seen people talk about the most, is Ryuji.
I liked him from, like...
I like... No! And at your point, yeah, you're gonna like him, but there's a small chunk in the game where he just... He does something really dickish.
Okay.
And a lot of people at that point are just like, Ryuji, you're kind of a bitch. But then Ryuji, eventually, you know, y'all confront. Yeah. And then he's good again. It's not super story relevant.
It's just something that happens.
It's just something
that happens. I can see that happening. That seems like something
that
he'd do.
And he's not the only one that happens with Morgana. It happens with Morgana.
It's already happening with Morgana.
It's okay. It happened maybe ever I shouldn't since say it like that.
He forced me to go to bed early.
But you know what I mean. The characters feel a bit more.
They have this realistic moment of like, oh, I'm being a little shit. I'm in a bad mood. Fuck you.
Yeah, and that's something you usually don't see very much in the other Persona games, except maybe during their social links, or during the answer in Persona 3. I'm gonna say that on the sole basis that in regular Persona 3, Yukari is like, you know, she's kind of annoying, but she's bearable. And in the answer, you want to stab her.
And see, here's the thing about that though. I get that. I understand that. The difference between that and like other situations, like you're saying in 5, is that in the answer, it's justified.
Exactly.
It's completely justified in the answer for why people are acting the way they are.
It is. And I want to stab her with a fork. You find me. Listen to this, dear listeners. If you can find me a single person who likes Yukari after they play the answer to Persona 3, you found the one in a million person.
My brother. I win.
Yeah. Okay. You find me anyone but Dan's brother, and I will be genuinely amazed.
But yeah, speaking of characters being more realistic, that's something I noticed that I really, really like, is that in Persona, like, 3 or 4, when you decide to not address the problem on a day and just be like, hey, let's chill all day and not do anything really relevant to our mission, people are just like, yeah, let's fucking do it. Awesome. And in 5, when you do that, people are like, are you sure? We kind of have a big problem we have to address here. And I really like that.
Yeah, no, in the last palace, if you decide to break the amount of time you want to take to do that up, and you decide like, oh, I'll do half of it one day, I'll use this day to work on a social link for someone in my team, and then I'll do the other half the other day, you cannot work on the social links for anyone in your party until after you beat that palace, because if you try to, they'll be like, I'm too worried about...
Yeah.
So, instead of hanging out, why don't we take care of that?
Yeah. I really like that.
It seems a lot more probable, because that is a problem with Persona 3 and 4. It's really jarring.
Yeah. It's like, oh, hey, we're trying to solve this murder mystery, and our friends might die if we don't do anything, but yeah, let's go play video games for like 5 hours.
Doing the social link with Akihiko, like, yeah, my best friend just fucking died, but oh yeah, let's go to the gym!
Yeah.
I actually don't remember.
Run the depression off.
I actually don't remember anything about Akihiko's social link. What did you do in Akihiko's social link?
Just kind of train. And like,
just
talk.
Hit the gym, bruh?
You. It's a lot of talking.
I don't remember. I maxed out Akihiko's social link, and I don't remember it that well.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a sign that it needs...
It's not a memorable social link,
maybe
honestly.
It's time for me to replay Persona
like,
3.
I love Akihiko. I think he's one of the best characters in Persona 3.
Oh, he is, bar none.
But his social link is not what makes him such a memorable and great character. It's everything else.
But you know who the best is?
In 3? Junpei.
Mitsuru.
Junpei.
Mitsuru.
The reason why Persona 3 Portable is the best is because you can fuck Junpei.
But you know what? But you know what you
end
can
of
do,
discussion.
But you know
I
what
win.
You can do in any Persona game. teach Mitsuru how to eat. I want to teach her how to eat. Can I just say that if I had to make a list of the best social links in the Persona games with social links, so the only ones that matter, 3, 4, and 5, if I could write a list, like the top 5 best social links, Mitsuru's pushing for the number 1 spot. Spoiler alert, you teach her how to fucking eat fast food! It's so good! I want Mitsuru to step on me and eat a cheeseburger while she does. I want her to take the Big Bang Burger Challenge! Speaking of which, actually, and I won't talk about this too much, at the risk of spoilers, the motivations of the main villains in Persona 5, like, why they receive calling cards, is the realest shit. Like, Kamoshida, he is a teacher who's molesting students and drives one to suicide. Madarame, he is dealing in plagiarism and art theft to the extreme.
And still drives one of the students to suicide.
And also drives one. And then you have Kaneshiro, who is taking advantage of high school students in more ways than one, and so on and so forth. This is the realest, I think, the villains, quote-unquote, in Persona have been.
It's definitely something I'm really enjoying.
Yeah. The motivations only escalate from there.
Oh, I'd imagine.
It's so, especially the, oh god, what number is it? Palace? I'll just say Haru's palace.
Okay.
The motivation for that villain is, like, the realest shit ever.
What was I gonna say about that? I was gonna say something really good, and I just kind of forgot it.
I think you were gonna say something about Kamoshida.
No, I wasn't gonna say something about Kamoshida, though he is...
I think didn't we all talk about this, how Kamoshida remains one of the biggest dicks in the game, like, even at the end?
Yeah.
Nope. Don't remember that discussion.
Suffice to say, he was physically, like, he was a volleyball coach, and he was physically abusing students during practice, and he was molesting his female students, and he drove one of them to suicide. Attempted suicide, and the school overlooked it because the volleyball team was incredibly successful, and he was an Olympic medalist, so they just kind of turned a blind eye.
Yeah. This is something I'm very happy with, because, like, they're tackling dark in a way that's not just, like, edgy, you know? In Persona 3, it's a dark game. It's, like, thematically dark. It's not actually dark.
Well,
you know what I mean, but, like, most of the darkness of Persona 3 comes from
Shinji.
The inevitability of death is a thing, and you have to deal with that. You know, that's... Persona 3.
The ending almost brought me to tears.
Yeah.
Just turn your brightness up.
But yeah, no, for real. That ending had lasted maybe 2 more seconds, I might have cried.
It's like Logan. Anyway.
It is like Logan, actually.
For Persona 3, like, it's thematically dark, and a lot of the really dark things that happen are, like, super bombastic and just, like, absurd.
Yeah.
You know? And same thing with 4. When 4 gets dark, it also gets stupid.
Okay, well, to be fair, but Persona
4 is also stupid. Yeah. But, like, even more so.
It was Scooby-Doo. Let's be real for a minute.
Yeah. It's actually just Scooby-Doo.
What's that chart? It was Persona 4 is Scooby-Doo. I can't remember what Persona 3 was, and it said that Persona 5 is Psychonauts.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, actually, Psychonauts is a really good comparison for Persona 5.
It is
fucking
Psychonauts, yeah.
But, like, what I was getting in 3 and 4, when it gets dark, it gets... really absurd and bombastic and crazy. And in 5, it's like, it's dark in a way that these are, like, actual situations that people in the real world could actually be going through right now.
Which is really cool, because, like, in Social Links, Persona has done that before.
Yes.
But never in, like, main game story.
Yeah.
So, like, especially in Persona 4. I think Persona 4, through its Social Links, really hit some of them pretty hard. But yeah, this is the realest it's ever been.
No.
Oh, anyway, is there anything else we want to talk about? The music is grade A. The
it's
art,
super jazzy.
The
I
art,
love it.
Yeah, the art and the general style throughout the game. Yeah. The graphic design, it doesn't get better than
no,
this.
It honestly doesn't. It's got like the best UI I've ever seen.
It yeah. does. And you like, know, it's so when good. When I review a game, when I
its
critique
UI is
a
so
game,
good that it became a meme.
Yeah. Like, I do not generally talk about the graphic design of a game, yeah. but this, oh my goodness,
it's part of the game.
So
it's like woven into the game.
It
it's
is
part
and
of
it's
that game's world.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Actually, here's one last thing I think we could talk about. It did what Persona 4 did to 3. It took some of those little things that you might not have even realized, like, might not necessarily have been problems, but things that could have been better. And for the most part, it improved upon them. And I think the biggest instance of this happening, at least for me, I didn't know how great it was being able to swap between party members until I actually started doing it. Like, you know, in Persona 3 and 4, you know, you generally, you know, you get together your main party. You know, you kind of decide who is more usable for you, and you just keep doing them for the whole thing. But in Persona 5, Yusuke and Makoto, I've firmly ingrained into my party now. But on, you know, she has the highest magic of everybody, but she's also not the designated healer. That is Morgana.
Yeah.
And then
which is really weird because Morgana is Magician Arcana.
Yeah. And I've swapped between them a lot. Sometimes I like having Haru out because she has the Psy skills and she learns Makarikarn and Tetrakarn pretty fucking early.
Yeah,
so she's, I don't want to say she's a really good support unit because I generally use Makoto as my support unit, but if I want to use Makoto as an offensive instead, which is another reason why she's so excellent, you know, I do have that backup, you know, and I could bring Haru out, and plus Haru also gets one shot kill, which is almost a guaranteed crit every time, which is fucking stellar. But the point is, it's changed gameplay a lot for me. It's changed how I go through the palaces and stuff a lot, especially because you can also use the skills of people you leave behind, like, while you're still going through
and
the palace.
Like, it's, and that's really cool.
I wish I had been able to do this sooner.
And that's really cool, and I'm really happy they do it. And then I just realized that using skills of people outside your party really just means having someone who knows Dia or Media in the back.
It means I don't have to put Morgana in my party, which is good because Morgana ain't good for shit except for healing spells.
Actually, this might just be us having bad growths in Morgana because everyone else I talk to, like on my group of friends in like Lynn and stuff, everyone there is saying Morgana's busted.
My Morgana's bullshit.
So I think it's just bad RNG on our part.
Maybe.
Because everyone else, like, or at least everyone else in Lynn, is saying, yo, Morgana is, like, one of the best characters in the game.
Mm-mm. My Morgana is useless. If he didn't have those healing spells, he would never see the light of battle. But for
that
me,
said,
and for
he gets
everybody,
Mediarama at, like, level 30.
Yeah, no, and
it's crazy.
He gets everything pretty early, and but so far, something I have heard consistently, I've not heard a single person disagree with me when I say Yusuke is the best unit.
I've had him for half a dungeon, and I agree.
I haven't used him for enough, but yeah, he's probably...
He has the highest strength, and his magic is also pretty damn good, and his agility is fucking incredible. Plus, he gets auto Tsukukaja pretty fucking early, so... You get to a point once you get that, and basically nobody can hit him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nobody can hit him, and he's dealing so much damage. Honestly,
he's pretty much Yosuke, but he hits harder.
Okay.
Like Yusuke confirmed. I don't want to say what, but there is also another direct connection between the two of them.
Okay.
Yusuke confirmed, but Yusuke is.
He's really good.
Never... There have been a few very slight times where I've had to switch Makoto out, and usually those are... I think the only time recently I've needed to swap her out was
for the
boss of the final palace where I just needed a healer in my party.
That's what I did for Madarame, because my team against Madarame was on Ryuji, Protag, and Yusuke, and every single time I was getting bodied because Ryuji always got hit with the super effective move on him.
Yeah.
And it was 100% of the time, and he was always the reason I was losing.
Yeah.
So I had to swap him out for Morgana, and then I won.
Yeah. But yeah, in summary, swapping is the fucking best. Thank you, Persona.
Whoop.
It's very useful.
It's very... Is there anything else about Persona you guys want to compliment or rip on?
I like the fact that you can walk through the world now instead of just fast traveling everywhere.
Yeah.
And you still can fast travel everywhere if you want. I just think it's really nice that you can just walk around.
Really, it's really good. Oh, and they mark where the social links are.
Oh my god.
That's actually incredible.
That is actually one of the most low-key helpful things that they fucking do.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing they could do to make that better is list off who it is. Because there have been so many times where, like... So I never... I got the gun guy up to 2 on his social link, and then I just decided, I was like, you know, it's not worth my time. I have other social links I'd rather work on.
Oh, yeah, question, what is his arcana? Just out of curiosity.
Hanged Man.
Hanged Man? Oh, Hanged Man is one of my favorites. Fuck.
You don't get him.
I have to have level 4 guts.
Yeah, I was about to say, you don't get him for a while. But, so, and Mishima, he kind of bops around place to place, but I usually would find him in Shibuya. And it would piss me off so bad, because I had Mishima stuck at 9 for a really long time, because I could never fucking find him. And I'd always see that little dinghy over Shibuya, and I'd get excited, because I'd be like, oh, maybe Mishima's here. And then I'd remember, because I'd always forget, because I had him so low, and I'd be like, oh, wait, no, it's because the gun guy is available, like, every day. But, yeah, no, them marking where your social links are is the fucking best. 5 stars. Persona 5, more like Persona 5 stars.
Yeah.
Ooh. Like, for real, though, this is... I don't want to say whether or not I like it better, worse, or about the same than Persona 3 or 4 until after I beat it.
Yeah.
But, at the very least, up to this point, it is, at bare minimum, on par with Persona 3 and 4. And that's a lot coming from me, because Persona 3 and 4, I consider two of my favorite games of all time. Like, if... I don't really have, like, a top 10 favorite games, but I have, like, kind of a lump of, like, 5 or 6 that I refer to as my favorite games of all time. And Personas 3 and 4 are both in that lump. And Persona 5, by the time I beat it, will also probably enter that lump. It is... I can at least say that if it remains this good, it will be the best game I have played in a very long time. It's... I love it.
All right.
Yep.
Anything else?
That's all I get to say about it.
Yeah, I think I'm good. I think all we talked pretty good about that stuff.
Yusuke, best girl, and remember, you can only have one girlfriend.
Yep.
Like, actually keep that in mind. That's very important.
Don't make the same mistake I did, because otherwise I would have dated Makoto. All
right.
When can we have boyfriends? I want to date Yusuke.
In the Vita port of Persona 5.
In Persona 5 Portable, where they give you the female option... Because everyone is comparing this game to Persona 3, even though they shouldn't.
Actually, here, I will have one closing thought. I will have one closing thought on Persona 5. The DLC, the costumes that come with the songs, first of all, is fucking brilliant. And if I didn't have so many issues with DLC, and I don't mean that like...
Wait, they come with songs?
Yeah, they do.
When you get the special costumes, if you enter battle with the costumes, they play the themes from those games.
Oh, yeah, so if good. You get the Persona 3 skin, and if it wasn't $8, and I say I had problems with the DLC, some of you may or may not be familiar with this, but there was a glitch going around with the free DLC, where if you didn't download all of it, it would block you from the game until you downloaded all of it. It was, you know, when you figure out how to fix it, it's a quick fix, but getting there is kind of a pain in the ass, but I digress. That's the best fucking thing. And bonus points to them for doing something that they haven't liked doing in the past. They included Personas 1 and 2 on this party. And more importantly, and this is what really caught me off guard, there are costumes for Shin Megami Tensei IF as well. And for those of you who don't know what that is, which a lot of you probably don't because it was never released in the States, is it's the Shin Megami Tensei game. It's basically Persona 0. It's the game that SMT made. And they were like, wow, we could branch off of this and make an entire separate series. And that series ended up being Persona. And Japan has gotten a couple other costumes that we haven't got yet of other SMT games, like Catherine. And
it's confirmed we're getting the Catherine ones.
And I really hope it is confirmed. I hope this like no fucking other, because I love the Devil Survivor games. I really want there to be a Devil Survivor 2 set, because the protagonist is literally the same fucking face as the Devil Survivor 2 protag, but with glasses. You give me that bunny hoodie and I will drop as much money as you need me to. I'm waiting, Atlas. Please make it happen. Show Devil Survivor the love it deserves. Please, I miss it.
All right.
If we don't have anything else to talk about with Persona,
we can move on.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys.
Anyway, Tiffany, Sydney, how are you?
I was wondering throughout the whole thing, like about the volleyball coach. You said that he punishes them, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
I was just like imagining, just like smacking, like. Volleyballs at them.
He probably did.
He literally did that in the boss fight, and they were like, "Is this what he does to his students?"
Yeah, in the palace.
So actually, yes, he literally smacks.
Yeah, no, he's physically abusive toward all of his students, and the female ones. He is sexually abusive,
and physical.
Particularly one of your party members on who experiences this firsthand.
His other balls for those, but I mean,
yeah. Yeah, no. There's a theme of the seven deadly sins going through Persona 5, and his is lust.
Oh, okay.
If you look at the calling cards and the trophies, which give you names for all of them, I think his was the Palace of Lust.
Oh, okay.
There was the Palace of Lust. There was the Bank of Greed, the Casino of Jealousy.
Oh, cool.
I'm assuming Madarame is pride.
I think so.
It can't be anything else.
I don't think. Yeah, no. I think it's. Tell you what, I can get on my phone. I'll look it up because no, this has been. But we talked about this
Madarame
the other day, and we couldn't remember who was
vigorously stroking his ego in that boss fight.
It's if
vigorously.
It's not, if it's not Madarame, it's the owner of the last palace. But I think it's Madarame.
But yeah. Anyway.
Anyway,
so let's change topics the other half of us can speak.
Well, it's like two-fifths.
Two-fifths. Close enough.
Let's not do fractions right now.
I feel it. Math sucks.
I'm too tired for this.
For
fractions.
Oh, okay.
What are you getting playing?
I started Fire Emblem Fates Revelations.
Ooh.
And I don't hate it nearly as much as I thought I was going to. Just because I feel like that game kind of didn't really get ruined for me, but there's been a lot of negative thoughts within our group specifically, and it just kind of turned me off of the idea of Revelations in general, because everyone's like, oh, it has the weakest story, and like it's not that good, and it's really bad at telling stories, and all the characters are lame, and I'm like, it's not that bad.
People are definitely overstating how bad the Fates games are.
They really are.
Like, I haven't played them, and even I know that people are overstating them. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
It seems like the hatred for Fates within our group is, like, absurd. And they're not actually that bad.
And, like, I've been listening to and, like, reading and watching people's opinions about it, and the people who really like it, like, they admit that it has flaws.
Yeah.
But, like, they don't actively despise this game series.
No.
And I'm like, I'm looking back on, it's like, I can see the flaws, particularly in characters, which for me is a big one. If you have really lame characters, I'm not going to be into it.
I mean, I agree with that, but I also want to say that Fire Emblem just hasn't had many good characters since Radiant Dawn, so I'm kind of indifferent towards that part of, like, Fates and Awakening and stuff.
I got really into Awakening, but I'm also fairly easy to please when it comes to characters and things like that, so... I didn't have a great experience with Birthright or Conquest. I just kind of thought that they had lackluster characters and a lackluster story, and neither of them really made up for it. But I feel like Revelations is honestly the strongest of the three, purely in the fact that Corrin actually kind of has a personality, which is nice, considering they make it out to be in the series of like, oh, Corrin's this great negotiator who's like so great at getting people to join the team, and it's like, no...
And then he has, like, no charisma.
Yeah. It's like he literally walks up to people and he's like, hey, I almost killed you. Want to join? And he's like, yeah, fucking sure. And in Revelations, there's, like, briefly describing the plot, basically, there's a third evil instead of just the Norian and the Hoshido side, and you get informed that, like, this third entity is going to switch the sky colors and make it so that this ultimate war breaks out and basically all humanity will die. And I'm like, that has a lot higher stakes than, like, we don't like them. So it's like, it's an absurd plot, but I get it. And that it makes more sense because, like, their motivation behind characters joining is like, hey, you are a traitor. If I join you, people are going to hate me, but also I'm failing my mission. I'm going to be murdered if I don't join you. It's like, people are more likely to join you if their life is on the line, which is shitty and it's a cop out, but it makes more sense than, I like your face.
Quick interruption. It is the Museum of Vanity.
Okay.
Pride is, in fact, the last one. The seventh sin. It is the Castle of Lust, Museum of Vanity, Bank of Gluttony, of Wrath, of Greed, Casino of Jealousy, and of Pride.
Okay.
Continue!
I know there were so many tornadoes in Persona.
Does it actually take place in Oklahoma?
No, there's too many things around town. No, wait, no, not even. They have public transit. So.
Long story short, I'm giving Revelations a try. I'm playing it on hard, which isn't that hard, but I do definitely see, like, the fact that I need to actually give a shit about my unit's lives. I'm still playing on casual, but it is nice to be like, oh, I can't just one-shot people. I have to, like, strategically plan, because I was reading about the pair-up system in Fates, and apparently they improved it drastically from Awakening, because for one, the enemy can pair up, so it's like you can't just steamroll everybody. And based on how you're paired up will dictate what happens in the battle.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cool, and I didn't know about that, and now that I know about that, I'm going to be much more strategic in how I pair up.
It's really cool. I remember reading about that, and funny thing is, in the past couple games, Fire Emblem has been essentially taking a lot of hints from another great strategy game that only I have played, and that is Super Robot Wars. The pair-up system originated in Super Robot Wars on the DS, actually, and Fates is doing pretty much the exact same thing, and it's really cool to see that a game that involves just a bunch of anime robots, like, killing each other with, like, no actual plot relevance because it's a crossover, actually, like, being influential in a game that is much bigger than it. So, I just think that's really cool.
Interesting. I'm also super looking forward to Shadows of Valentia.
Yeah.
I think we all are here.
I am so hype. The art style isn't garbage anymore.
I really love the art style.
Now, a friend of ours, Andrew, mentioned this the other day, that if we get what Japan is hinting at us getting, then this will be the first Fire Emblem game to have full voice acting.
Yeah, I believe. Yes, yeah, they said that.
They confirmed it for Japan, but not the States yet. I can't imagine them not. Really? That's what
it
I heard,
has
at
to
least.
Be.
Yeah.
I can't imagine
really
them not.
If they didn't.
Yeah. I can't imagine them not. Just but it's still better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah,
it would
be
a really good step. Because them going all out for a game that is literally just a remake of, like, the second Fire Emblem game ever made.
That nobody cared about.
Like, them going as all out as they can on it to say, like, hey guys, there are games other than Awakening and Fates.
Awakening, Fates, and Shadow Dragon.
Shadow Dragon, nah.
The first one. The Shadow
Dragon. Well, I mean,
I say that on the sole
Shadow
basis.
Shadow Dragon is the remake of the first one, but
I say that the first one, nonetheless. I say that on the sole basis of how much Japan seems to like smacking Marth on everything.
I mean, yeah,
and in Tokyo Mirage Sessions, there was not so much as a wink at Fates. It was all about Shadow Dragon and Awakening.
Well, yeah, the game was in development.
You got Drog.
We got Drog.
It was
disclaimer. TMS is still really great.
Yeah, I just wish it had characters that were like not from Awakening, but and it's got drugs.
Yeah, it's got honestly, something that would have improved that game tenfold is if there were characters from like more than two
and Camilla
Fire Emblem games. No, Camilla wasn't in.
No, I'm saying she should have been, right? People love her.
I mean, I would have liked that. But then again, there were only so many characters.
Maybe they would have given her clothes.
Maybe. They gave Draug a hell of a lot more clothes, that's for sure.
I mean, depending on how you class her up, you can make Tharja a rainbow, like, wood fairy.
It that wouldn't seems be... very out of character.
I'll look it up. It's when you decide to class her into a sorceress.
I saw Krom and it made me sad.
Yeah, that's all of them.
I know.
Well, no, because the original Tharja design you get is actually pretty slamming. And it looks pretty similar to how she looks in Awakening. But if you do what I did and you decide to class her into a sorceress... Yeah, she becomes... She looks like a Lord of the Rings character.
All I can do is stick bear hats and foxtails on random people. Every time I talk to Saizo in the castle area, he's like, oh, do you think I should wear an accessory? And the only thing I have currently is a bear hat because I tapped my Lucina amiibo.
Okay, this is... To give you a point of reference, this is what Tharja looks like when you first get her.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks pretty great, right? And then, if you class her into Sorceress, which you should, this is Tharja.
That's not Tharja.
That's not Tharja at all! Yeah!
That's Lurantis.
Yeah,
that's Lurantis?
Yeah, that's Lurantis.
But her name is Tharja.
No, it's not. It's Lurantis.
Alright.
Disclaimer, though, if you are playing TMS, you should absolutely class Tharja into a Sorceress because her magic stat is re-fucking-diculous and she breaks the fucking game.
Really?
Huh?
Who would have thought that the mage had a good magic stat?
Can I just say one quick thing that has absolutely nothing to do with what we just talked about?
Yes.
I really like the speed of the amiibo reader on the new 3DS. I literally, like, hovered it over really the screen, good, right? And it was done.
Yeah. Like, you don't even gotta try.
Yeah. It's like you could accidentally scan amiibos. They just all fall on your 3DS saying, oh, fuck. There's just 7 free scans.
Does anybody here plan on getting the amiibos for Fire Emblem?
I might.
Which,
I don't
like,
know if I'm
going to
get them day one.
Yeah.
No.
No, I'm not going.
I don't trust Fire Emblem amiibos.
I want to see them in person because I saw some zoomed in images and Selk has got some funky looking eyes.
Yeah. Do we know what they do yet?
It's so hard
because I might
make
they summon
a face.
A version of themselves into the game.
Okay.
They basically act as like a ghost AI.
Okay. Because I thought to myself like I might do it if they have a good effect, but if it's just something like unless it's one of those things that sounds like a stupid idea, but when you go in-game it actually is fucking brilliant, then I'll probably...
I don't think it's going to do much in terms of, like, what it does in the game. I'm just going to get them if they look nice.
All right.
Because that's what I did with Lucina. I don't care about Ike or Marth.
I
just want Lucina.
Speaking of Ike, so he's coming to Fire Emblem Heroes at long goddamn last.
3 a.m. I'll be up.
Yeah. By the time this podcast is up, he'll have already been on, and I'll have used... every single one of my 40 orbs.
You get 15 more tomorrow, too.
Because
they're releasing a map, not a paralogue this time.
Ooh. I can't wait to not pull him.
Same. I can't wait to get barsed for a
sixth
time.
I can't wait to get 4 barsts in the same pull.
I don't know about y'all, but I
one more than last time.
You know, before, when I first started playing this game, I was the Tsubaki Whisperer.
Yeah.
But now I'm the Cherish Whisperer. I cannot get anything but 3-star Cherishes. I'm pretty sure I had at least 15.
See,
I
you
alternate
got 4,
between,
that'd be good. But
yeah.
3-star Cherishes.
I will turn on Fire Emblem Heroes right now, and I will tell you how many Cherishes I have.
They seem to be the only 2 characters I pull. The only time I've pulled a green unit that's not Nino or Barst was when a friend did it for me, and I got Easter Crumb.
Now, you've only got 3 5-star units.
I have 3 5-star units. 2 of them were pulled in the same pull about 2 weeks ago.
And the other one, Camilla.
I pulled on day 1.
Yeah.
So you guys should do what I did. I just uninstall it. All your problems will be gone.
But I want to just keep summoning.
Yeah, I don't care about playing the game. I just want to summon.
Yeah.
Although, real talk... shout out to the Fire Emblem Heroes team for doing probably the best update yet, and that is bringing your stamina up to 90 goddamn 9.
That's a lot.
Like, I wish it would have been like that since day one. I would have enjoyed this game much more.
I'm going to tack on one extra thing. Mm-hmm. I also really like the move units thing. So yes. Only for that one map where your healer can be stuck in the same room as a ninja.
Yeah.
Did you mean every map when you have Lucius in your party?
I don't have Lucius in my
party. No one has Lucius in their party. That they made Lucius a healer.
No one is more upset than me. So, you know how earlier I think
Lucius
I said this
Lucius was not a healer in 7.
I think I said this earlier in this same podcast.
He was a white
mage.
Or at the very least, light magic.
Yeah, I said this.
What does that mean?
I think when we were setting up, and I said this because I recently made my Gaius a 5-star because I have a hashtag bias for Gaius TM. Anyway,
TM.
Because I want to have a team of all my favorite Fire Emblem characters, and Lucius is in fact one of my favorites because when I played Sacred Stones, he basically carried us. Or not Sacred Stones, 7.
7.
Yeah, he's carried me. In 7. Healer now? You know, at first when this first happened, I was like, okay, you know, maybe this will be good because I assumed that he would still be able to attack decently despite that, but no, he's weak. He's pathetic. But I'm still leaving him in my party anyway, I don't care.
So you like piggyback rides?
Sure.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Kennedy?
Huh?
Oh.
I'm trying to see how many shares I have. I did delete some characters like a month ago, but
I have 11 Ninos.
Oh god, yeah, that's right, you're the Nino. So
all of them 4-star.
I wish I hadn't gotten rid of my Ellie Woods because I probably have a similar number.
I can't really
I also
think
have 7 Barsts.
I probably had that many
3-star, half of them 4-star.
I probably have that many Barsts before I deleted a whole bunch of mine before the update of inheriting skills came out.
Yeah. I have 4 Barsts, and one of them is a 4-star.
I've only gotten 3-star Barsts.
And I have...
I pulled a 3-star Barst, and then in the same pull, right after, I pulled a 4-star Barst.
I have...
Yeah, I would have thrown my phone.
I did throw my phone.
I have 8 Cherches, and they're all 3-star.
Oh my god.
I am the goddamn Cherche Whisperer. And the cherry on top is that the other day, Eleanor, she had pulled up a lot of... orbs, and she was letting us all do summons. Like, she would go around and let us each do one, and on mine I got a fucking Cherish.
You also pulled a Cherish for me.
I also pulled a So it's basically like I've had 10 Cherishes. I am the Cherish Whisperer, TM.
I used to have so many Niles before I deleted all of them because he made me mad. Because if he gets the smoke, like, you're going to get a good colorless unit, and then it's fucking Niles' ugly face.
I've also pulled, like, 4 Effies, but that's fine, because now I have a +3 Effie.
It's unfortunate. You know, I can't complain about Effie anymore, though, because I had absurd luck this weekend, so I won't complain about not having an Effie.
I haven't touched my Effie, and that pisses a lot
Effie
of people.
Effie really, is based.
Yeah,
she's you know incredible. Who else is based? My 5-star guy.
No, he isn't. Use literally any other ninja, but they'll run rings around guys.
But you know who's real based? 5-star Kagero.
I mean, I don't know.
I'm still upset that
fantastic.
I couldn't pull Easter Xander.
My,
but he's so fucking...
I'm,
he's
I'm
awesome,
upset
but he's
that
so
I couldn't pull
bad.
Any of the Easter characters
that makes
general.
It better.
Yeah, he's so fucking bad.
I don't care about using him. I just want him for that little hat.
Yeah.
And his little bow tie!
The hat and the carrot sword. I don't care how good. The fact that he's bad makes me want him more. Like,
I just got Crom's little carrot axe.
Yeah, that's good.
I didn't get any of them, which makes me really upset, because I really wanted just any of them. I especially wanted Camilla, but I would have settled for anyone and been happy.
The thing about Camilla's Easter costume is if you just look up fan art of Camilla, it's going to be like half of
if
it.
If you just Google the word tits, I mean...
I liked Lucina's, if only because she really vigorously was, like, throwing her egg all the time.
Oh, yeah, she's got, like, the...
Yeah!
Okay, so, I'll try and find it so that maybe we can put this in the description, but you know what Easter Lucina reminds me of? This picture I saw on Facebook the other day. It's a picture of, like, 2 frying pans, and they're all full of, like, a dozen eggs being cooked, and it's this guy saying...
People at work call me the Eggman or something like that, right?
Yeah, people at work call me the Eggman because all I do is cook eggs all day and it makes me happy. Pick related.
I think Garrett shared it.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, it's. I'm pretty sure it was Garrett who shared that, and that's what Easter Lucina is.
We should do questions.
Yes, we
should.
We have 3.
Yeah, we have 3. And
It sounded like you were about to say something.
Oh, yeah.
I cut you off. Yeah.
I was just saying. I was just gonna mildly complain about the game because I feel bad whenever I complain about this game, because I have 10 5 stars, but like 6 of them are ones I really don't need at all because they're all red.
I wish I had 10 5 stars.
Because I got Seliph and Tiki and Marth, and I only need Karel in my life.
I have 12.
I mean, Tiki is also really good.
But I have old Tiki.
I think I only have, like,
who's not five? Bad, but yeah.
And one of them is
Gaius, Tiki.
Who, you know, obviously I didn't pull as a 5-star.
I would get 12.
I think,
at the top of my head...
I made 2, I know that. I made Raven and I made Kagero.
Oh,
I have 6 5-stars,
okay.
And only one of them was one I ranked up through Feathers, and that's Gaius, obviously,
okay.
And the others
so
I
have
pulled.
5 questions.
Oh,
matter of fact,
let's get on it.
Yeah, let's run
sounds
through
good.
Them. We'll
how
start
long
with
is
mine.
This podcast so far?
It's like
an hour
10.
10.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we
we're
got like 10-15 minutes for questions.
Yeah, let's jump through them.
All right.
They're not long.
Yeah, most of these are like done.
Okay.
First up from Colin. He has 2 questions.
We love you, Colin.
Love you, Colin. Question number 1, favorite gaming drinks. It does not have to be alcoholic.
I have a 2-liter of Diet
alcoholic?
Coke right next to me.
It
so
can be, yes.
I'm going to say Diet Coke.
Yes, we know it's Diet Coke.
I'm going to take a sip out of my 2-liter.
Okay. Just don't do it near the mic, please.
Do it close to the mic and get the gulps. Yeah.
Did those pick up?
Oh, I wasn't looking, but it looks like they did.
To whoever's editing, can you make those extra loud?
Oh my, can you not
gulp?
Can you get one of those cheesy cartoon gulp sound effects? Anyway.
But yeah, favorite gaming drinks, alcoholic or not?
I like water.
I drink a lot of Brisk, so probably Brisk, if not chocolate milk.
Really good hot tea. Like,
ooh,
when,
yeah.
Like whenever we play Overwatch at night, I refuse to start until I have tea. And then like in between deaths, I can start drinking hot tea, and it just makes it all the better.
Hot tea is really good.
For me, it depends on how I am. Usually it's water, but on Saturday nights and Friday nights, sometimes it is alcohol. Usually it is shandy or something mixed with vodka. Ooh. And that's when I find myself more talkative, but I don't want to play ranked because I feel like I'll fuck up.
It's okay, it doesn't stop Pat.
Pat doesn't drink, though.
It doesn't stop him from fucking up.
That's fair. He does that regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I drink coffee. Yeah, I've been playing with these coffee cups for the past hour.
It's true.
It's true.
It
says 16 ounces on it, so it kind of makes me wonder, like, where does it... when is it 16 ounces? Is it, like, at the very top of the notch?
Is it when you fill it to absolute completion?
Okay.
Or is it, like, when
there's
still
a
millimeter?
There's not
a
notch on the inside of these. There's not a fill line.
Yeah, because, like, you know, like, in bottles of fucking Diet Coke or something, like, this is, like, how much does it say?
2 liters.
This is 2 liters, but the one in your hand, because for those of you who can't see, she has a Coke Zero in her hands.
Like,
it says 20.
How do they know that it's, like...
Well, with Coca-Cola products, at least, it's up to the point they fill it. And to the point they fill it, there's usually still, like, an inch or a little less than an inch between where the soda ends and the cap is.
Like when I buy products that includes, like, liquids, I always, like, see, like, how far up the thing is. If it's, like, full enough, am I getting my money's worth?
I don't think
sure.
I've ever cared enough to ever do that.
Yeah.
I care about
it. See, I care about it, too, and that's why I buy 2 liters, because it's so goddamn economic.
I care when it's chips. Like, sometimes I'll pick up a bag of chips and I'll scrunch it down and be like, okay, this is when the chips begin. Yeah. And sometimes
like
I'll do that.
How nice to find chips in my bag of air. Anyway, next question.
Next question.
Daniel?
Other one of Colin's questions. What video game character would you think is most likely to go on a big spring break vacation?
Okay, so I knew my answer immediately. I don't know her name, but the cheerleader, Juliet, from that zombie game.
A Lollipop Chainsaw.
Yeah.
I have a very similar answer, because mine's from the same developer. I'm going to say Travis Touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
From No More Heroes.
Oh, okay. Now I know who that is.
I still have Persona on the brain, and I walked on the beach with Makoto, so I'm gonna hang firm with my Makoto. I would love to spend spring break with her. Or Mitsuru. Mitsuru's also acceptable.
But what about Morgana? She'll tell you not to drink and to go to bed on 9 o'clock.
I will punch that cat.
Wait, is it who is most likely to go on? Or who you want to go on a spring break vacation?
Oh, yeah, because if it's...
It just says video game character most likely to go on a big spring break vacation.
Most likely?
Most likely.
Oh,
most likely.
God, then it's definitely... It is definitely not Makoto, then.
Yeah. In fact, I said most likely.
I misheard you, and I'm going to revise my answer to Ryuji.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ryuji's a spring break kind of guy.
He's a spring break kind of guy. That it?
Yeah.
Well, right, Dan, right. Tiffany, did you guys?
I just realized I
said
I
Travis.
Really,
oh, that's right. Adam, did you?
I got nothing. I can't think of anything.
Who's a lead character?
A lead character?
Yeah. Just name one randomly.
Maybe Lucio. I feel like he'd go on a nice spring break.
He'd just DJ.
Yeah, he could be the DJ at a spring break thing.
He'd be one of those guys on the MTV special.
Yeah.
That's what he'd be.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. I don't know who sent this in because nobody signed it.
It's me.
Okay. So Sydney asked, who's your favorite brown-haired average white dude protagonist?
Nathan Drake?
Yeah, Nathan Drake.
Okay, how's this? Oh, wait.
Who's your favorite Nathan Drake?
Actually,
basically...
I'll tell you who mine is. Let me tell you about Booker DeWitt. Yeah. Booker DeWitt, my favorite dick.
He's the other Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
Booker DeWitt is simultaneously such a jerk, but he's a really well-written character.
At the end
of the day, he's a really well-written character.
I'm still going to stick with my boy Nathan Drake.
I'm going to also say Nathan Drake. I want to say Joel, except I don't feel like he'd be very good for conversation.
Can I do an honorable mention?
Sure.
And I'm not entirely sure if this counts, but it's a visual novel originally, so I'm going to say it counts. Keiichi Maebara from Higurashi When They Cry.
Really?
I like Keiichi. I think he's great.
Okay.
He's not my favorite character in Higurashi. That is a title I reserve strictly for Rika. But as far as generic protagonist goes, Keiichi. He's memorable enough to remember his name. That's more than I can say for most protagonists like this. Keiichi's a cool dude. He's a harem protagonist who's actually somewhat deserving.
Okay.
Of his harem. I like Keiichi. Adam? Or no, wait, you said Nathan Drake.
Yeah. Like
Tiffany, did you?
Three of the five say Nathan Drake.
Tiffany, did you say anybody?
No.
I feel like Nathan Drake's the one person who, like, if he started talking to me on, like, a 24-hour flight, I wouldn't mind.
He'd be a lot of
fun. I've never
to talk
played
to.
Any.
You should.
Games.
You would like, I feel like you would absolutely love Uncharted 2.
They're a very good do nothing afternoon kind
of
game.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have a lot of nothings to do after I beat Persona. So.
It's a big, dumb, B-rated action film as a game.
Maybe,
Nathan Drake gets
something into
a fist fight with a Yeti.
Yep.
I'm sure it's wonderful. Moving on.
All right. Next question from Darian Azarte.
Darian Azarte.
Azarte? Okay, I was
right.
He's
a cool dude. We met at a ZubiCon.
Okay.
He's a really cool dude. Hi, Darian.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Favorite dessert that's not very normal in the States?
Okay. Huh. Can I intro to this one?
Sure.
Because I have been watching a ton of the Great British Bake Off lately. So, let me tell y'all. Huh?
This is hard.
Okay, so let me tell y'all about trifles.
Oh, trifles are so good.
Let me tell y'all about trifles. I've only had, like, I think maybe two or three trifles in my life. I haven't had that many, but watching the Great British Bake Off reminded me of how goddamn much I love these things. So I'm gonna say trifles are the best. And for those of you who don't know what a trifle is, it is a British, basically a super parfait. It is a parfait on steroids. That is the best way I can describe it. Sydney, how would you describe them? It's like, there's like yogurt and ice cream, layers
it's
of cake and fruit.
Like you take 3 to 5 things that you really like and you just layer them.
Again, it's a parfait on steroids.
Yeah.
Just look up.
There's
look
no
up
rules.
Pictures. There's no rules, but they usually contain either yogurt, ice cream, custard.
Or pudding.
Yeah, something, a dairy.
Yeah.
I don't want to say, like, filling, but, you know, something to fill up the space so that it's not, like, a cake.
Yep.
But, and that said, there's also, like, a million other desserts that I've never even heard of before watching this show that I am now, like, ready to kill a man to try, and that's why I find it really hard to watch The Great British Bake Off, because I have a really bad sweet tooth, and anytime I watch it, it just... Ugh, I want to eat everything.
I have such pretentious answers for this question.
I just don't have an answer. I don't know what desserts are normal in the States or not.
I really love panna cotta, which is like... It's kind of like...
Pina colada?
No, panna cotta. Pina colada is a different thing. Also fantastic.
Oh, okay.
But panna cotta is... It's kind of like a more savory dessert. Mm. It's like cheese and fruit in kind of like a custard form. It's really good. And my other answer is Sahrathort, which is...
I've never even heard of
it. It is super, super sugary.
That sounds like a sci-fi villain name. Like, that sounds like the name of a... Like, that sounds like the name of, like, an alien you'd encounter in Star Trek.
It's basically super sugary chocolate cake. I had it when I was in Vienna.
I'm in.
It's very, very dense.
Where do I get it?
Vienna.
Let's go.
Where...
You know, if you ever get a chance, you should absolutely go to Vienna. It's fantastic.
I wish I could.
It's real nice. Otherwise, you can look it up online. It's not that hard to make.
Oh, well, I'm really bad at cooking.
I'm not.
Sup? You got any plans tonight?
Tonight, a lot of sleeping.
Are there any plans for sugary chocolate cakes in there?
The way you're talking is mildly concerning.
I really like chocolate cake. Anyway, rest of y'all.
So, it's quite contrary to you, I don't have much of a sweet tooth. So, like, most of the desserts I end up eating are, like, things you can get from, like, an Italian bakery.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, your common eclairs, your cannolis and stuff like that. Yeah. Various Italian cookies. So, I'm not really much of a, like, special desserts kind of person, but I do really love me cannolis.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to say the same thing, honestly. The least common dessert I eat that's for the U.S., I would say, is cannolis, and that's very common, honestly. So
I'd say egg custards.
Oh, those are tasty.
Oh, those are actually
good. Yeah, those are real good.
Yeah, and then there's another one. Is there, like, a word for, like, sweet soup?
I don't think we
have
that. You
know, I know what you're talking about, and I don't know what the word is.
Really sugary cereal?
When you put Lucky Charms in milk and then you strain it and drink the milk.
Or
Cinnamon Toast Crunch would actually probably work better, because I don't know about the rest of y'all, but when I pour some Cinnamon Toast Crunch and I eat all the cereal, the milk is basically light brown at that point.
Yeah, it's so gross.
Probably, yeah.
Oh, well, it has, like, some taro in it and some tapioca.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's called Sai Milo, if you're Asian and... speak Cantonese. Hi, you're one of me.
Also, flan.
Flan?
Flan?
Flan
is the best.
It's so good.
I've never had flan.
It's really tasty.
Dan, there's like 50 places in Lynn that sell. Bread Dreams has it.
I know. I still haven't eaten it.
Next time we go to Bread Dreams, we are getting some flan.
Okay.
Is it flan or flan? I've always called it flan.
It depends on where you are.
I just like sucking on it, potentially choking on it.
Can I mention one more? And I think this is more so of a regional thing. You see pecan pie everywhere in the southern Midwest, and I don't think I've ever seen a pecan pie up here.
I want to die every time I see pecan pie.
They're just only at, like,
pie.
Supermarkets, which you just don't have access to.
God, I love pecan pie, and I miss it every day.
I don't.
You don't like pecan pie?
No. Oh. I really don't like pecans, and I don't, like... The closest thing I've ever had to pecan pie, because I know I won't like it because I don't like pecans...
That's very correct.
...is those chips... I
the pecan pie.
Oh, yeah. Those were so good.
No, they weren't.
No, they weren't.
So good. If
they
I
were
recall,
okay.
I ate
yeah,
one
so
and
okay.
just wanted to die.
If I remember correctly, I ended up finishing off.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah, you had them all.
Yeah. If nobody else has any desserts they want to shout out, I mean.
Bananas Foster.
That's
not regional. It's just really, really good.
I've never had Bananas Foster.
It's fantastic. Also, bread pudding. But I don't think that's regional.
I am a slut for bread pudding.
Same.
Bread pudding is pretty great.
Tiramisu.
Tiramisu? Yeah, tiramisu is good.
I'm not too big on tiramisu. Maybe I just... I've also been told that the places I've had tiramisu also don't have good tiramisu.
Actually, no, I think...
Well, tiramisu is kind of like... It's coffee-based.
I think I... And I don't like coffee. Thought of one that I actually do like that's not a fucking cannoli. And I have no idea how to pronounce it, so give me a minute here.
What?
It's a Middle Eastern dessert. It's basically like crunchy sugar spaghetti... Oh.
I was about to say baklava.
It's not baklava.
It's not baklava
spaghetti. Yeah, also baklava is fucking incredible.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, real talk, baklava.
That shit's incredible. It's so fucking good.
Is it
good.
Gonefka? Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
I know Deanna fucking loves
baklava.
It.
Is basically like it's like a lot of layers of like I think puff pastry or something like that.
I think it's
phyllo dough. Phyllo dough, something like that. Basically, very thin sweet dough, and it's like drowned in honey.
So fucking good.
It's so good, especially if made by the right places. I've had some incredible baklava.
That might be some of my favorites. Think
it's up there for me, but at the end of the day, I still got to give it to trifles.
Yeah.
You never see him up here.
I forget what it's called, but it's like this. It looks like a hardened spaghetti.
Look up hardened sweet spaghetti. I dare you. Google hardened sweet spaghetti. If you still need more keywords, look up Middle Eastern dessert spaghetti.
Kanefka is so good. My brother's girlfriend's parents made it, and it's like, it's a funky ass color because it's traditional that you dye it like bright red, but it's like sweet custard layered with phyllo dough with sweet cheese on top of it. And it's so weird, but it tastes so good.
You know what that reminds me of? And this is also another potential answer. So there is a bakery not too far from where we are right now. It's called Tous Les Jours. I'm pretty sure it's like a small
franchise.
And they have this bun. It's like cranberry custard or something like that. It's a really soft, creamy bun with cranberries and custard and all sorts of stuff in it. And it's like $2.50.
I really like the one with, like, a cream in it. It's, like, a very light cream.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, like, overwhelmingly sweet, and you don't feel like shit afterwards.
I think it's cream puff?
I don't know. It's, like, a long one.
Like, the thing I'm thinking of, I think it's kanafi. I'm not sure. I don't even know if I'm saying it right, honestly. But whatever it is, it's really sweet spaghetti-looking stuff, and it's fucking delicious. Mm-hmm. It's all sugar. Anyway.
Next,
a lot of two more questions.
We spent a lot of time on dessert.
Yeah. I really love dessert.
I do too.
Up next, what was the highlight of your day on Twitter from Edgeverse?
Oh, that's Lou Jane.
Yeah.
Hello.
I think, may I say that I think that's like one of the cleverest Twitter handles I think I've ever heard.
It took me so long to realize that the two V's just make a W.
The highlight of my day today was probably, I was playing Persona 5. Basically, all I've done today is play Persona 5. And, like I mentioned, I'm in the last area in the game. And I was doing my last thing of social links earlier today. And I maxed out the two social links that I wanted to max out if nobody else is. I maxed out a couple. But I maxed out Yusuke and Futaba. And of the social links that I have not yet completed, those are the only two that I really cared about finishing. But I also maxed out Caroline and Justine. I maxed out Takemi, which made me really happy because I had her stuck at 9 for like a ridiculously long time. And I really don't know why. I kept visiting her and I don't know why I didn't go up. I came really close to maxing out Chihaya. I had her at like 8. Who else? There was someone else I either maxed out. Okay. Kawakami, I had her at 9, and I'm a little miffed that I didn't get a chance to max her out, but life is cruel. But yeah, I got to max out Yusuke and Futaba, the only two that I was like, if I only max out two characters in this last set, I wanted to be those two, so that was...
Mm.
Oh, and we got free ice cream earlier today.
Oh, yeah, we got free ice cream today.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
The highlight of my day was my tooth didn't hurt today, and that's great. Because I've had really bad wisdom teeth pain since Thursday night.
He's basically been chugging Excedrin.
Yeah, in the past five days, I've taken like 11,000 milligrams of Excedrin. It's actually terrible.
That's a lot.
It's awful. but yeah. So,
rip your liver.
Yeah, rip liver. Like, I'm already got a lot of other medication. This is just not helping. But yeah, no tooth pain today. It's great. I just high-five myself.
It's called clapping.
Tiffany coming in here with the real philosophical shit.
Watching Samurai Jack was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I enjoyed doing that.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's like really good.
So.
Yeah. I enjoyed that.
I'm struggling to answer this. I didn't have a terribly good day. I guess the highlight was finding out that there's a new D.Va skin.
Whoa. Isn't that police officer skin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god. It's cute.
I've done like nothing today that made me happy.
Yo, speaking of skins, Alex got a skin in Street Fighter V that's coming out, and he's just a fucking firefighter, and it's so bad, and I need it.
Stop, drop, and squat.
Him and Zach Fair would be the best of fucking friends.
But yeah.
I mostly don't remember my days because I just blank out. You guys like talk about your days. Oh yeah, that happened. Like how Adam said, oh, we watched Samurai Jack. Like, oh yeah, that happened. But I guess for today, it's just eating Wendy's.
It's the little things.
Yeah.
It's the little things. And you know what? Yeah, she's a meme now, so.
Oh yeah.
She's a smug anime girl.
Those memes are great.
I'm so glad.
I really love it.
If any fast food mascot was going to be a smug anime girl, I'm glad it's Wendy.
Yeah.
But why not Burger King?
I wish they would use the King again. He was so creepy. I miss him.
Yeah.
Oh, and I also tried to lockpick a place, but I couldn't, so I got frustrated, and then I took it in.
What?
I couldn't open it. I think I took a nap or shit.
Oh, okay, that was the part I didn't hear.
We're all very proud of you.
Yes, we are.
And then I heard people complaining in the bathroom, and they were talking about coffee, and then I wanted coffee.
You've had quite an eventful day. Jeez.
You're going places, Tiffany.
I took a lot of naps today.
Oh, I took a lot of napkins.
That's like a few extra words than nap.
I am napkin. I identify as nap.
I don't want to identify as nap. Naps make me mad because I never feel refreshed.
I can't take naps because then I just sleep for 6 hours.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happens, is I either go into, like, full-on sleep mode or I wake up and I feel equally as angry. I just am also groggy.
With me, it's like, even if the nap is, like, 15 minutes, I have officially fucked up my already really bad sleeping schedule. So it's like, if I'm at a point where I feel like I need to take a nap, like, it is a heavy decision of, like, a pros and cons list. It's it's an event. Anyway, last question.
Last question.
Let's be quick for this one. We gotta wrap up.
Oh, this is a long one, but let's try it.
Cut the Y.
Okay. I'll cut the Y. It's from Julia. What game is the most important to you?
Oh, God.
Or you use some of them.
That's a deep one.
Or a couple.
I'm going to say for me, I'm going to say the original Jak and Daxter on the sole basis that before I had played Jak and Daxter, I had played some video games, mostly like computer games and stuff like that, like high entertainment. Huh? Okay. But Jak and Daxter was the first game that I played and, like, seriously enjoyed to the point where, like, when I look back, I consider that game the turning point from when I turned into someone who plays games into a gamer. That was the game that got me hooked on gaming. So I'm going to say Jak and Daxter.
I have a couple. I'll keep it quick. I just lost all my train of thought. Okay. So, a couple of the big ones I would say are definitely Mega Man X, because Mega Man.
Yeah.
That's all I really have to say on that. Persona 4 Arena was really big because I played it a lot with my friends in Lynn, and it was just a really good bonding experience over the span of like 4 or 5 months. We would just play Persona 4 Arena. Marvel vs. Capcom 3, because it got me into competitive fighting games. Guilty Gear, because it taught me how to improve at competitive fighting games. Persona 4, because I played Persona 4, and then a week later I felt nostalgic for it,
I when I had beat it after a day, I was nostalgic about it.
Like, it's crazy. I think that's it. There's more, but that's the big ones.
Spyro's a big one for me. That was, like, my first actual game that I ever played.
Spyro's top tier.
Spyro 2 Ripto's Rage was the first game that I ever 100% completed.
Well, the first game I ever played.
Oh, shit. Tetris. Partly because it's one of my favorite puzzle games ever, but also because I used to watch my brother and my mom play, and that's the only game I've ever watched my mom actually, like, actively play. So I thought it was really cool.
There is no game that has aged better than Tetris. Like, real talk.
It's so good. It just translates so well, no matter, like, what age we're in.
Mm.
Unreal Tournament was a big one because I played that with my brother a lot. And we actually found out a really funky strategy to, like, constantly win. And that's also when I found out about camping, which is not a good thing. But, you know, I was, like, 7. I didn't care. And Lego Star Wars was a big one for me, because that was, like, a game that I really enjoyed playing by myself, which was a big thing. And Viva Pinata, basically the same reason. I loved being able to play a game that kind of had no end. And, like, that was the first time I really got involved in the internet in terms of, like, seeking out how to get my pinatas. And to this day, I still don't have a fucking donut.
Doing those sweet-ass pinata strats.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, actually, I have a quick one. I'm going to swap out Mega Man X for Mega Man Battle Network 6 because it was my first Mega Man game. And
look at me now. We all see how that went.
And look at me now.
We love you, Mega Man Dan.
You're okay.
Yeah.
I'm writing something on how Mega Man is the best platformer ever. It should be on the Lifecast in like 2 weeks. Anyway.
Adam Tiff?
Pokemon Snap's really important to me.
Pokemon which?
Pokemon Snap.
Okay.
Super Mario World. And more recently, Fallout 3 and Metal Gear Solid 4 specifically. I don't particularly love Fallout 3, but those were...
That's the one in Boston, right?
No, that's 4. That's 4. It's the one from 2008.
Fallout 3 is the one that made people recognize Fallout.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't particularly like Fallout 3 that much, but... Fallout 3 and Metal Gear Solid 4 were the first, like, reviews that I read, like, in depth, and I knew that's, like, something I really wanted to do. And I specifically remember waiting up until 3 a.m. for the embargo of both Fallout 3 and Metal Gear Solid 4 to come up so I could see the reviews the second they were posted. So those games mean a lot to me.
Wow.
Well, I guess I would say Pokemon Red or Yellow. Well, it has, like, a depressing story that comes with it. But anyway, I like Pokemon Coliseum. It has the one of the best soundtracks. Yeah.
It's good music.
Oh, yeah. And then Chibi-Robo.
I didn't know you liked Chibi-Robo.
Chibi-Robo is so good.
Yeah, I really like the frog. I mean, what do you call it? The costume?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
Little thing.
That game is so smart, too. Like, when you actually, like, look into it, it covers a lot of, like, surprisingly heavy topics really well.
Oh. Well, I was just being a perv when I was a kid. I would try to, like, look at this. the mom's dress.
Oh, no. You guys can't see it, but Tiffany has her face buried in her hands. Anyway, so we were kind of pressed for time right now. But be sure and leave us questions for next week. Thank you for listening this far. This has got to be pretty long by now, huh?
137.
137? Oh, okay.
That's actually about
it. It's not as bad as I thought. I thought we were pushing 2 hours by now. Anyway,
no.
What I would like to ask you to do is leave us some comments about what you thought of Persona 5, since this thing was... mostly about Persona.
Half of it.
Half of it was Persona, and we're at a point now with the length of its release that a lot of the people have beaten it now or are in my position where they're close, so a lot of people are starting to really formulate their thoughts on it.
Yeah.
So be sure and let us know what you thought. Anything else?
No.
I've had to pee for an hour.
I'm so sorry. Pee. Same. Go pee. Go run.
I mean, I have these cups here.
I'm not using a cup, Tiffany.
Bye.
I tried that in the woods. Bye. It didn't work.
Oh, okay.
Here, stop this so I don't ruin it.